episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And Frank T. Biscuit.
And welcome to a new episode from TrustMeI'mAJedi.com of the Rebel Radio Podcast. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's a nice day today. You know, of course, here in Texas, it can rain one day, and then you could be sweating your butt off the next day.
I know, like... At my house, it's a debate. Should we leave the heater on, the AC? I'm just like, leave the damn AC on and
especially
put some
this,
clothes on.
This time of the year, it's unseasonably fucking hot for February.
Yes.
It's like this time of year is usually winds blowing. You might still need a jacket in the morning, but your balls should not be fucking sweating on February. What is the day? 22nd, 23rd of February?
Right.
Yeah, 22nd of February. You shouldn't be ball sweating.
I was debating on going commando.
Thank God you didn't. Man, what is with you and your phone every time we record?
I don't know what the hell was what the damn Google bitch was saying.
It's Siri. Are you talking to Siri
so
while you're recording
you,
with
did you
us?
Get moved no. in yet? Almost?
Almost. We have made so much progress.
You have an April 8th deadline.
I know.
So
I know.
You have to be ready to roll by then.
All we need is for my dad to tile the master bedroom. And then that's
it. Tiling the master bedroom?
The appliances are coming next week.
No, wait. I'm asking a question. Why are you tiling the master bedroom?
Sorry, master bathroom.
Oh, I thought you said bedroom.
Actually,
I can understand.
Tiling the bedroom is pretty common nowadays.
Well, yeah, people but it's also easier to clean.
Believe me, if I could have no carpet, I'd have no carpet at all.
So there's no...
Jackie wants carpet in the kids' rooms.
So yeah, she's going to regret highlights. That later because they're going to spill and get things on it. And, you know, I could have no carpet. I'd have no carpet. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mark would be slipping
speaking
and sliding
of, so your dad
place.
Told me, have you had to duck and run lately from dad?
I have not had to duck and run lately from dad. Thank God.
For those that listened to the last episode, Matt, you know, is a married man, but yet... ducks and runs from mommy and daddy when getting his freak on.
Yes, I've had to take off and stop. Help. You know, I had to hit the pause button.
Put some whipped cream over it and say, Dad, it was a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday for
yep, it's a dessert.
Yeah.
You know, Mark used to make jokes like I would get into a story and then we get interrupted and then like literally like 45 minutes. 5-6 days later,
you
just
a,
jump right back where
you
I
have
left
a,
off.
You have a live-action pause button. You'll tell a story an hour later and continue where you left off.
I know. Is that what happens when you have to pause?
Yes.
You like, just okay, like, jump right back into it like 45 minutes later.
Be like, assume the position
day.
Again.
Or it just shrinks back down to nothing.
Like jumping into a cold pool. No.
Wow, is that how you describe your woman?
Wow.
No. I didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah. What are you? So, before we get into the meat of the show today, and calm down, just because it's in meat, guys. You know, relax. Okay. Right. We a lot of news going on. It's been kind of a not super big week, but kind of busy. First off, what's going on with the Batman? Ben Affleck drops out. He's not going to direct it. He just wants to star in it. A lot of rumor that he wants out completely, but he's under contract at least through the Batman, so he has to at least film it. Negotiations break down with director Matt Reeves. Is DC Films going at this point, or are they still? Is there hope?
There's hope. You know, it's everyone hits snags every once in a while. You know, we've had issues with the you know Robert Downey Jr. Supposedly he was gonna leave after Iron Man
Marvel's
3.
Had issues.
Marvel's had issues. You know, with Robert Downey Jr. Supposedly he was gonna leave after you know the second Avengers, and we were gonna possibly have a new RDJ replacement, but that never happened. You know,
different. An actor being replaced and getting your cinematic universe off the ground. I mean, this is Warner Brothers, for crying out loud. They're as big of a studio as Disney and Marvel is. How can they... It just, in the realm of things, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to be just like Marvel, but the groundwork is laid right in front of you since 2008 on how to build a cinematic universe. How do you not do it? How are you having trouble getting this done? You're Warner Brothers. You can't get directors and people behind these projects to do them the right way?
Guess not. I mean... Maybe this is not as happy of a camp at
I think
Warner Brothers as it is Disney.
I think the issue
too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
No,
that could kill a studio.
I think they're trying to be Marvel too fast. I mean, Marvel, they took their time.
I've heard that before,
and they've had
but...
all these. They had so much time to develop these characters. Look how many movies before Avengers.
But my excuse to that is, how has Warner Brothers not had time? They've been talking about this since Superman Returns came out, and actually. I would go back, I would say since The Dark Knight Rises came out in 2012, they from there said, hey, we're going to build our own universe of films. So they've been working on this for a few years, and it started with Man of Steel. And I don't think they're lost yet, but I think a lot rides on Wonder Woman and Justice League this year. I think right now, even if there's no doubt the Wonder Woman Justice League, they may not be huge hits, but they're going to be hits. People are going to go see them films. I think, don't you think your focus right now should be that next film that comes after Justice League? Because I think fans are only going to go so far. I don't know, is it Aquaman's coming out next? I'm not really sure.
I think
but
Aquaman.
That next film, if it's not good after Justice League, I think that's where the universe starts to fail.
Yeah. You know? But here's my thing about pulling out of a full-blown Batman movie. Almost at the point where we don't need another full-blown Batman movie. They should have just kept his character within the realms of pop-up appearances in the other characters' universes and Justice League.
Well, no, I see why they're doing it. He's the most popular character in their franchise.
He
so,
is, but he's had so from many a business, films.
But this is a different universe. From a business standpoint, it makes sense to have your most popular character in a solo film when you're trying to build a new universe. That would be like making Avengers films and not having an Iron Man or Captain America film. It wouldn't make sense. You know, you have to have...
But that's not the same. What I'm saying is they hadn't made 6 Captain America films.
But you're looking at it wrong. They made other Batman films, but that has nothing to do with the new universe. See what I'm saying?
But
so I don't have a problem with going the route of doing Batman because this is a whole new thing. You can't even think about the Schumacher, Burton, and Nolan films. That's completely different. This is a whole new universe. So I don't think that has anything to do with there's already so many Batman films. It's just for some reason they're having these scripts, you know, trouble getting them written right. Flash went back to a day one script, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I mean, you have a Flash television show on TV with, again, a footprint of how to do the Flash right. How do you not translate that to film?
Because they don't want nothing to do with their TV.
Well, no, I know universe. That. I know that, but there's so no maybe, way you can make a Flash movie and not have similarities with the show. That's impossible.
But what I'm saying is maybe they're trying to go so hard and have nothing to do with the Flash
and
show that they're not even looking at what works.
Now rumors are reaching out to Mel Gibson for a Suicide Squad 2. Since when we're getting a Suicide Squad 2, why? Let's get these solo films done first. Suicide Squad wasn't that great, you know? Yeah. And I don't, I agree. I don't think the DC Films universe is lost yet. I think there's definitely hope. I think Zack Snyder is arguably maybe not the best director in the world, but his films at least are watchable. They're action packed, and Man of Steel wasn't terrible. Batman vs Superman had its moments, so I think Snyder's Justice League could be the saving grace they need.
Yeah,
and I think DC's best move right now is to get a Justice League trailer out, something very positive, get people talking about it. You know,
probably around the time, you know, probably in front of Wonder Woman or something.
Well, I think it's going to come sooner. Zack Snyder's been saying soon, so I have a feeling it's coming.
So what big movie?
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out next week in front of Logan. You know, why not advertise your film against Fox's Marvel?
Why not? They advertise a crap load of DC stuff in front of, I mean, Marvel movie stuff in front on during
why
DC
not?
Programming.
You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get it next week. So I love these characters in the DC universe. You know, Green Lantern, Flash, all these guys. And I really want to see this work, and I hope that it doesn't break down. You know, I would obviously say for this year. And I guess part next, Aquaman just started filming, so it's underway. So we'll at least get that far. And I don't think there's hope lost. I just wonder why Warner Brothers can't get their shit together. You know, I think we all think the same thing.
My question is do they even like ask the writers that do DC Comics for any feedback?
Well, no. Jeff Johns has been involved with it. He's been one of the executive producers on these films.
You know,
and that's my thing is I don't understand why. That's why sometimes I think there's too many chiefs going on. You brought in Jeff Johns, who has helped with the television shows with Arrow and Flash. You brought him in with these movies. Are they not letting Jeff have his say? It makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Jeff on board, it seems like things should be going the right direction.
Like maybe there's some kind of filter after him with one of these other guys.
Right. Like there's someone at Warner Brothers just, you're just a comic book writer. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say.
Well, you know? We've seen that happen in a lot of failed comic book movies. Where you're like, what does this have to really do with the characters in the comic book, you know, is my thing.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, we should get more news soon. We should find out the official director of the Batman soon, since Matt Reeves dropped out. I can't remember. I read a name the other day who they were talking to. I don't totally buy into that Affleck just didn't want to direct because he wanted to focus on acting. Come on, Ben. Not exactly a Oscar-winning actor. Yes, you've won an Oscar for screenplays and direction for Argo, which was very good. But you're not going to win an Academy Award for acting, man. You know, let's be honest here.
But let's think of it like this: when it comes to directing, you have all the prep time before and all the finish up that you have to work on after the movie's wrapped up. And, you know, whereas acting, you show up to the set, you do your thing, and you're done.
No fucking excuse. He needs a director. He should have directed.
Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe he wants a smaller window of having to work and a fatter paycheck for it.
Maybe. So, you know.
You know, these movie stars, they want to tell us to give our money away, but they want millions of dollars for
6 weeks worth of work. The good news is, from what we know, the script is done for the Batman, at least. It's just getting the film going.
Isn't it mostly, I'm Batman?
Right?
And
that's probably about 60% of the script.
Do you bleed?
So, yeah. in other comic news, man, kind of bad news, Guillermo del Toro, no Hellboy 3.
Oh, I heard that.
Disappointing. You know, he's been trying to get off the ground for a couple years now. Ron Perlman was on board. Del Toro was on board. We have to figure that Mike Mignola, the creator of Hellboy, was most likely on board. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the studios just don't have interest. And, you know, the Hellboy films cost $60 to $100 million each to make. They both netted around maybe $200 worldwide, so they weren't huge films. I'm sure they found a home on Blu-ray and video, but that looks like that's it. Well, you remember at the end of Hellboy 2, what's her name? I can't think of the character's name. Was pregnant with
Selma Blair.
Yeah, with Hellboy's kids. We'll never get to see how the twins turn out. We won't get to see if Hellboy gets his destiny. It's unfortunate because they were good films. A couple of the better comic book films of the last 15, 20 years.
I liked them.
Pretty fun.
And he's like, I'm not a good shot, but my bullets are pretty big.
Right. And then we had the two animated films, which they put out direct to video. And those were pretty well done too, with Ron Perlman voicing and just, you know, it's a strange that in all these popularity of comic book movies that there is a victim, you know, because Hellboy deserves, you know, why not?
At least a third.
Yeah, at least a third shot to wrap it up. And I'm surprised the studio would not think that it couldn't be highly successful, because both Hellboy films came out before the Marvel age, in which obviously comic movies are top fives in the box office right now every year, other than Star Wars. So, any other thoughts on No Hellboy? Just disappointed more than anything.
Disappointed, man. I saw that. It was either yesterday or the day before. Ron Perlman shared the article. I follow him on Facebook, and he just shared like he just typed like a smiley a sad face, and with a little tear. And I was like, man, because I like the Golden Army. That was a good movie.
They were both good.
Yeah,
you know. And I actually have the animated films, which aren't always easy to find. I think you order them on Amazon. I actually found them in Half Price Books. It's a double feature on Blu-ray for like $8. Huh. And they're really cool to have. So there are at least two live action and two animated Hellboy films that we can enjoy from here on
forward.
Yeah,
whenever something just doesn't get wrapped up or concluded, you just kind of feel left empty.
Yeah, it's kind of how you feel. You know, it's disappointing, but oh well. But something else that we are getting, hopefully, Kevin Smith, who, of course, we're big fans of, is going to do a Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And it's not a reboot in the sense of a reboot. He's basically going to make fun of all these ideas of reboots. And he was trying to do Clerks 3. He was trying to do Mallrats 2. He even tried to develop Mallrats as a television series. But no one's picked up on him. Even his buddy over at Miramax, the Weinstein brothers, even told him, no, you know, we don't want a Clerks 3, which... It's amazing they don't want a Clerks 3, because that's been his most successful films. But there's all... Well, it wasn't really a studio. Apparently, a cast member from Clerks said no. A lot of people believe it's the guy who played Randall, you know, and that he doesn't want to do it. And Kevin Smith says, I'm not going to do it unless everyone can do it, you know, so no Clerks 3. So we're going to get Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And the idea is that they're older, and Hollywood wants to reboot Bluntman and Chronic. So, again, we got to go to motherfucking Hollywood to shut that shit down and don't remake Bluntman and Chronic.
Wait. But my question is, will we get another...
Cockmacker?
No, another music scene at the end? What? Say it, Mark. You used to say it all the time.
I'm lost. I don't know what I...
Remember, at the end, who were they listening to play?
More's Day and the Time?
Now you got to say it right.
Oh, Jungle Love.
No. How did they say it?
I don't remember.
Morris Day and the Motherfucking
Time. Oh, Morris Day and the Motherfucking Time. So, you know, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I'm all for this, obviously. I think it'd be funny if it's done right. Kevin Smith hasn't gotten it greenlit from the studio yet, but let's hope he does. If he can make shit like Yoga Hosers, He can make Jay and Silent Bob's reboot. Just Yoga Hoser sucked. I'm sorry. And did you watch it?
I watched the first
one. Dude, it's hard. I can't believe it. I watched it literally 20 minutes at a time. I could not sit there and watch the whole hour and a half straight through. It's that terrible. So you
couldn't take a full hose.
Dude, it's terrible. Full hose. Hey, but you just want to see Jay put his penis between his legs and say, you want to fuck me again, don't you? That's all you want to see in the reboot.
I'm not the one sending the memes out to everybody. The clip of him sitting there dancing with the shit tucked. Like you do.
I've never sent that meme ever. So
what was that bat that sent?
Probably Matt.
I never did. You're probably just looking at them, and then you forgot to send them because you enjoyed them so much. Nah. So you're just like, I'll just save them on my phone.
Random tags or video there.
So, all right. Well, let's get into the show today. And we are going to go a time warp here in a little bit to 1987. And we'll explain why in a moment. But first, let's do our latest segment we've introduced to the show a few episodes ago. This is Download This.
Download This.
So, what have you guys downloaded, streamed, watched lately that you want to tell people they should go check out?
Oh, I definitely downloaded the best thing. It is a Street Fighter II emulator on your phone. You can play the classic. You can play Turbo.
Mark, you're a Street Fighter player.
And you can play against your friends via Bluetooth.
Now, my question is this on Android or iOS?
It is on iOS.
Okay, so you'll find it in the...
The Apple Store.
Exactly.
So it's actually, is it licensed?
I believe it is licensed. I'm going to check right now.
So it's anyway, while Matt's going on to...
Oh my goodness gracious. He's even got the Street Fighter music going. Now it's loading. Hold that up to the mic. I think that is licensed. Is it free?
It is free.
Wow. I totally suck at Street Fighter stuff.
So. There you go, people.
Download Street Fighter. You won't regret it. And you can Hadouken the crap out of whoever you want.
That's all I ever did in Street Fighter. Hadouken.
And that's why I didn't like the game.
Frank, what... Matt, sorry, what have you streamed, downloaded lately that you think people should check out?
Well, I was pretty excited because the other day I got on Netflix and found out that Season 2 of Seven Deadly Sins is available. It's an animated show. Total lots and lots of perverted reactions to things. You know, like literally every guy out there is perverted in some way.
Is this Japanese anime?
It's a Netflix original.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure it's done in Japan or Mexico.
This sounds one like of Japanese two. Style.
But yeah, it's in English, not, you know, I'm sure it has it. But yeah, it's total, it doesn't really show nudity, but it's a lot of perverted stuff going on it that's pretty funny. You know, the main character is like literally a grown man. He's like really old.
I'm not kidding it.
But he looks like a little kid, you know.
Oh, so he's like one of those trans age guys?
No.
That people talk about? No.
No, but...
Or they think they're a little girl?
But they're all like, warriors and fought, like, crusades and stuff. You have to watch it. It's actually pretty good. And I was excited that Season 2 finally showed back up. I like a lot of the Netflix original animated stuff.
Okay. Original animated.
Yeah, you should check out their list of animation. It's pretty decent if you're into animation.
Pretty decent.
I'll be honest, I haven't really downloaded shit lately or streamed anything, so I'm just going to pick a movie. Justice League Dark finally hit home video, Blu-ray. It's the latest from the DC Animated Universe, and it's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to watch that when I get home.
That's all I've checked out lately that's new. Other than that, I did see, before we get into talking about how awesome of a year 1987 was, I did see John Wick 2. And I meant to bring this up at the beginning of the show, but we're going to bring it up now. So, Matt, you finally watched John Woo's The Killer.
I did.
1989 film, very influential to things we've seen today. And you yourself texted me and Frank yesterday and said that, man, I see now what you're talking about. I've seen these scenes in 100 movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because very few action films are not influenced by The Killer. And so... Was there an awakening for you?
There was an awakening. I mean, whenever both guys fall on the floor and they have the guns pointed at each other, and then, you know, they seemingly become allies, sort of.
Right.
Frenemies. Very, very frenemy through the whole the whole half, you know, whole
the
film.
Second half of the film. Mostly.
Question: subtitled or dubbed?
It was neither. I had to act as if I knew what was being implied.
What? So like literally, you didn't understand a damn thing they were saying.
I had a beer and my popcorn, and I'm just watching this.
Because you pulled out the fire, it didn't have subtitles hardened lined into it.
I probably could have kept going through the different links and try and find one. But the one that I started, it was really good quality, so I didn't want to try and fish around, maybe find one that's bad quality. But I could tell, looked like he retired for a bit after his last job, because the muzzle flash blew out the girl's eyes.
Okay, you know what? I think I have it sitting right over here on DVD. You're borrowing it, so you can actually watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, shooting the cars, shooting the fuel lines of the cars, making them explode, that was, you know,
it's not so much about John Woo's style with using the slow motion or the religious emblems or the pigeons that he uses. That's all his thing. But it's just the idea of gunplay and the guns are an extension of your body along with your martial arts abilities. Not that he used a lot of martial arts in The Killer Hardboiled, but no. Woo has done that in his films. The Raid does it full
Raid is
extension
awesome.
Of guns and martial arts. And it's something that has influenced. Love or hate Michael Bay, he's been influenced by it. You can tell. Quentin Tarantino, heavily influenced by John Woo. He'll even tell you, and if you watch interviews of him, that's one of his favorite directors. The guys who made John Wick.
Yeah.
I think even the Russo brothers and their Captain America films, I think they've watched some Asian action cinema. You can tell. There's very few films that aren't influenced by some of that stuff, and that's why Asian action cinema has been kicking American action asses for 50 years, going back to the kung fu movies.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. I like the camera angles they use, the whole cinema aspect, the way they film their movies.
They make you really feel cool,
like you're there.
You're there, and it's not these directors that are zooming in on things where it's so close. Or what I really hated was like The Kingsman. Not a bad movie, right? But the action is so fake. It's calling what's the guy actor's name on a wire, and then they move him around from scene to scene in the church scene at the end of The Kingsman where he kills all his people, remember? You can tell it's just filmed by CGI and, oh, Colin, move over here. Colin, move over here. We're going to make it look like you're punching someone in slow motion. There's no realism to it. There's no choreography. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hate about some of these action films today. And not, like I said, The Kingsman wasn't a terrible film, but the action, there's no sense of realism to it. It's cinematic on a level that it's CGI and fake looking. But it's cinematic, like Frank said, on a way that makes you feel like you're there with those characters.
I forget which movie it is, Asian film, but like literally, like okay, like in Batman, v Superman, the whole scene where he's like looking into the future or whatever, and it's a post-apocalyptic, and they did that whole scene in one take,
right?
And people made such a kind of a big deal about it being done in one take. I've watched documentaries and actually seen the film of this one Asian movie where they do literally nearly a 20-minute fight scene all one take.
Because it's all choreographed.
And none of the punches looked pulled. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like they were really kicking each other's butts. I mean, I thought it was like a real fight to how good they were. But nobody was hurt. And when you watch the documentary part about it.
Asian action cinema has always had a way of making you feel like you're in the movies. Like those old kung fu films, people don't understand why they put the noises in there. The hi-yahs and the punches. They wanted you to feel like you were part of the movie.
Right.
And it's something that American films don't always do well. You know, going to the movie should be an experience. And you should walk out of an action film feeling exhilarated and part of it. And you get that sometimes. Mad Max Fury Road, very much walked out of the theater feeling like you were in the action.
I went home and I was frisky with my wife. That's how fired up that film got me.
But not to get too far.
She had to file a restraining order.
You know who else kind of likes that in their action movies?
Restraining orders?
No.
Friskiness.
That's just yours. No. The whole Austin the Powers. Big action drama action type stuff. Bollywood. Indian movies.
Bollywood.
They I went to a movie. Actually, I think it was when I went to see John Wick.
I think I see a lot of Bollywood action films I can think of, but okay.
I went to see John Wick, and they had it was funny because they had this one movie, and it was like two different showings of it at the same time. It had two different posters, but it was the same movie, but it had different languages. like, they were kind of speaking English, but there was, like, different language subtitles for each movie. But I just stepped in where literally they had the volume way too loud. But just the way that the action scenes were, like, the camera angles, the way they were popping and moving, you could tell that they were really, the way that they just shoot their movies is totally different than anything we do here.
And I think maybe it's a sense that...
And yes, and they just broke out in a dance.
Maybe here's why. Maybe it's a sense that cinema to them is a newer thing in some of those countries. I mean, and they've had movies for a long time, but maybe the idea of filming them is newer. So maybe they're still using some of the older techniques that keeps it fresh and new. And now it's so easy for a director to say, oh, we'll add that guy in CGI later. You know, they don't want to do it practical anymore.
Yeah.
And
Hollywood's gotten a little bit lazy. They don't want to build epic sets anymore. They don't want to, like...
They use green scenes.
You get a few directors that still, like, Christopher Nolan still likes his practical effects. We know J.J. Abrams does. Rian Johnson, who's doing Episode 8, does.
I would always be a practical effects person.
Well, that's one thing I think Disney and Marvel has done a really good job of, is they've hired a lot of directors that do want to use a lot of practical effects. Marvel is still using a lot of green screen on certain things, but I know it's like... I was watching something about Doctor Strange, and a lot of it was practical effects. They did a lot of that filming around New York City and stuff, and they went in and obviously they CGI'd all the weird stuff.
Right.
But they filmed as much as they could on Doctor Strange. That they said, hey, we're Winter Soldier. A lot of the airport scenes, all CGI.
The whole airport scene was CGI'd.
As long as it looks cool, but most of that was filmed in front of a green screen. You know, about the only thing that wasn't was where they're standing there talking to each other. They actually filmed that outside and CGI'd everything in. You know, and that's the difference in some of these directors. But so you didn't see John Wick 2 yet, though, did you?
I have not.
You're because lazy,
man. What?
Dude, I go on there, and I click on John Wick on my Fire Stick, and it shows that it has 30 people that have uploaded John Wick, and it shows it as 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Dude, go to the movie theater.
Hold on. So I click on it. It's the freaking trailer to the movie. That's it.
I went and watched $5 the other day when saw
it. Go to the movie theater.
She won't let me go, man. She loves John Wick. If I see it before her or without her.
Don't tell her.
Dude, she's going to kill me. She'll find out.
No, she won't. She'll get over it. I know. Trust me, she ain't going to kill you. Yeah,
tell her you're going to go work on the house.
I know, right? Be like, Cameron, don't show up.
Sweep over there to Tinseltown and go watch it.
Yeah.
I think I saw an 11:20 showing that day at Tinseltown over here.
Yeah.
You'd be out by 1:20. You can still work in the house some.
Do a little bit of work.
I think I got 1:40 that day when I went and saw it last week.
Yeah. So I always go to like first showings of stuff because I'm sorry, I'm a cheap bastard.
So even though you didn't,
$6 or less.
Even though you didn't view The Killer with full language, you need to watch again. Where would you rank it as far as assassin films?
Ooh.
I mean, it's my favorite assassin film of all time. It's number one for me.
Would Enter the Dragon count?
That's not his. No,
because it's
a tournament, but he's not an assassin. When I talk assassin, I mean a guy who goes and shoots people for a living, who actually goes out and hunts people.
I put it number two next to Kill Bill right now.
But Kill Bill,
I know it's highly influenced.
But that's a revenge film. It's not an assassin
film. Yeah, it's a revenge film.
But there's assassins
in
it. No,
you're not...
He's talking about where the main character...
The main character is an assassin.
Man, I guess it'd have to be the number one.
I mean, it's influenced so much. I've liked John Wick so much in a short time that I think John Wick has quickly moved up to my list as probably my two or three assassin film. You know, because I think it's that good. You know?
Terminator 2.
That's...
T-1000 has to assassinate.
That's stretching an assassin film. You know, So we would give our review of John Wick 2, but since Matt hasn't seen it, but
I give it two thumbs up.
I think it's
a five.
Action wise, I think it's better action than the first one. Plot wise, this isn't really spoiler territory because if you've read anything about it, you already know this. It opened up the assassin world a lot more.
Yeah,
but I also liked the first one because they alluded to it all, and I liked the mystery of it. You know, so I kind of like the idea. And and there's a part at the end of this film that really bugs me where they opened it up too much. And it has nothing to do with any as far as leaving it open for three because I'm all for part three. It's just the way they did it really bugs me. The movie, and I know we've had this discussion before in Rebel Ray about realism in films. And I expect certain realism from certain films. I expect escapism from certain films. And this film, it took a very real world of these assassins, and it kind of became comic bookish in the last 10 minutes of the movie, and it kind of bugs me. You know, and that's all I'm going to say since Matt hasn't seen it and other people may have not seen it yet. Yeah. And it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the film. I just wish they would have handled the last 10 minutes a little differently.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I have people at work that have seen it, and they, of course, they all like it. But what question I proposed to them, I said, can you imagine if Keanu Reeves never, acting ability never got past Bill and Ted? And he acted like,
whoa, man.
His character in every single movie, like that character. Can you imagine what John Wick would be like?
Whoa, you killed my dog, man.
Dude, give me a gun.
Give me a gun, bro.
Actually, he still kind of talks like that most of his movies. I mean, he's from Hawaii.
Yeah, wow, man, we got to stop this bus.
Well,
this bus light can't go under 55 miles an hour, man.
We are in 2017. So 30 years ago was 1987.
That's right.
Yes, it was.
The year after Matt was born. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, like, just randomly, like, do you realize how awesome 1987 was for movies?
1987.
And I came across this on TrustMeTheJedi.com. We do it on Thursdays. We post a time capsule Thursday every now and then. And the last couple ones I did were RoboCop based on the animated series and the toy line. And I started realizing, wow, RoboCop's 30 years old, you know? So I just kind of went and did some research on 1987. And, man, what a fucking year for movies. Now,
it was.
There's no Keanu Reeves that movie that year.
No.
You know, because I think Bill and Ted was 86, I think, maybe the year before, 88, maybe the year after. But, man, 87, for people that don't know, maybe not the greatest year in cinema, but, man, but this, if you break this, it's got to be top 10, you know? Yeah. We're going to talk about the movies in a minute, but I'm going to list a few first. Predator. The Princess Bride, Lethal Weapon, RoboCop, The Untouchables, Beverly Hills Cop 2, The Lost Boys, Wall Street, The Living Daylights, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Running Man, The Monster Squad, one of my favorites, Evil Dead 2, Masters of the Universe, Hellraiser, Spaceballs, and
you said balls.
Over the Top.
Oh, Over the Top?
Yes.
La Bamba.
La Bamba.
Batteries Not Included, Creepshow 2, Innerspace. I mean, I would have sworn I thought I saw Total Recall in here, but I guess not.
I mean, I can't believe how many movies are on this list of, like, some of my favorite movies.
But Arnold still had two movies that year. You know, I mean, this is back when Arnold was in his prime. You know, Running Man.
Did you say Full Metal Jacket?
Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah. Dirty Dancing.
I know Full Metal Jacket has a lot of love. It's not one of my favorite war movies. It's you know,
It was famous for using an actual drill sergeant became an actor.
I'm not a Kubrick guy. I'm just Stanley Kubrick, and I can take or leave.
Yeah.
You know, so when I said, hey guys, let's talk about 1987, what were your first impressions? Like, wow, that was a good year for movies.
I was like,
yeah, you said it, we looked it up, and I was like, holy crap. There's like only like maybe a couple of movies I'm like, eh. But pretty much every movie I either own or I've watched several times.
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Steve Martin, John Candy classic. John Candy. Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. That's a good Robin
Williams. Raised in Arizona, one of the early Coen brother films, which at the time it came out, people, you know, back in the 80s, people looked at Coen brother films and weren't sure how to take them because they were kind of quirky, alternative. Now, Coen brothers are darlings of cinema, you know?
Okay. Here's one of where y'all going to bust my balls.
Uh-oh.
One of my favorite movies on here, Mannequin.
Anyway, let's move on. We see in Saints Man 4, The Quest for Peace. Okay, let's look at some of these first. Okay, Master of the Universe. Maybe not a box office hit, but it's kind of become a cult classic following over the years for us that grew up with He-Man. You know, I watched it, you know, not that long ago, and it's, while Master of the Universe is bad, it's still more watchable than Dolph Lundgren's Punisher.
Yeah.
In some ways, if you want to compare Dolph Lundgren movies. Because at least Master of the Universe doesn't take itself overly serious. And I think that's why it works. You know, where the Punisher, he takes himself pretty seriously. You're just like, God, this is bad. You know?
But lovable bad.
Lovable bad.
This list from 87. What's one? I know Predator and Running Man are easy for you because Arnold Schwarzenegger could have his little pecker out here in front of you. You'd probably be like, oh, look, it's Arnold's pecker. But I don't even know what I was going
with. I'm
going
to have to go.
Get to the balls. That's what I didn't tell you,
Matt. What?
I would have to go with Hellraiser, the movie I proposed to my wife watching.
Really? Okay. Yep. That's a good one. I'm glad. We'll get to the obvious movies here in a minute. What's one on that list that's not an obvious choice besides fucking Mannequin?
Because this has special meanings behind it.
Oh, Lord. We already told this story before the show started.
Yes.
People don't want to know that. People don't want to know that Frank did something he shouldn't have done. Well, or depends how you look at it.
Totally should have done it.
Now you were,
I did.
Now you were like 15, man. That's weird.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
And she was 22.
So
21. But anyway. But you know what? Okay, I'm going to throw something at you because I've seen these movies. But there's these two movies. They're a lot alike. Can't Buy Me Love and... what was this other one? Something Kind of Wonderful.
Okay, we move on again.
No. Basically, they're the
John
same
Hughes
movie.
Films. No one cares.
They're basically the same movie. It's a guy likes this other chick. He tries to impress this. You know.
Yeah.
To impress.
Rebel Radio doesn't care.
You know.
About chick.
Hey, we're talking about all these movies.
No, we're not really. We're just talking about the awesome films.
The Witches of Eastwick. That's like.
You like Patrick Dempsey?
Basically, yeah. That's what.
Yeah. So anyway, Mark.
What I really like in this list, and they took it off Netflix, those bastards, is the Monster Squad. Monster Squad's still one of my favorite fun movies of all time.
Mark's all like, Monster Squad's on Netflix.
And it's awesome. I know you've seen the Monster Squad. It's where the kids open up the amulet, and they bring Dracula and the mummy and all these creatures into the real world, and they have to figure out a way to get them back because Dracula's going to kill everybody. And it's a cheesy, fun film. Which, the Dracula in it's kind of, there are historians that think that Dracula in it's one of the best versions of Dracula, just because of the way the guy plays him. And, the Monster Squad's great fun. Just a fun film, it's good for kids, it's not overly violent, and, that's probably one of my favorite movies on this list from 1987 of all these movies that came out. And it kind of came out of nowhere to kind of find its place as a cult classic among films through TV airings, Halloween time it's always on, if they put it back on Netflix, you've never seen The Monster Squad. Sit down and watch it. If you like The Goonies, you'll like The Monster Squad. It's that simple. It's in the same vein.
Yep.
You know?
I have one for... Mark will probably know this answer. I'm going to see if Matt knows this one. Can you tell me something important about Empire of the Sun?
Oh, Empire of the Sun?
Yes.
Wasn't that Bruce Willis?
No. Nope. Christian Bale.
That's one of his first...
When he was a kid... Probably one of our first appearances.
We had a James Bond film in 1987, Living Daylights, which was I believe it was the first film that Timothy Dalton did as James Bond. Yeah, because he only did two. Yeah, he only did Living Daylights and License to Kill.
Yeah.
And so we got Timothy Dalton's first turn. But the obvious films on this list, I think, are Lethal Weapon.
The buddy of all buddy film, well, cop films.
I think it brought buddy cop films into the modern era.
Right.
Is, you know, I think we had some buddy cop films, you know, in the heat of the night, things like that, over the years. Dirty Harry even had a partner, didn't he? If I remember right.
Yeah, there was a cop.
But
on
that
the
wasn't
force.
A buddy cop film.
No, he was a bad cop.
Yeah, but Lethal Weapon was definitely the one that modernized the buddy cop films as we know today. The Princess Bride, which has become a modern classic.
Yep.
You know, and that's mm-hmm. You know, people actually haven't seen that. Talking to a couple guys at work, and I'm not going to say their names because I'm not giving them a shout out three shows in a row because he'll say, "Man, I got another shout out," but he knows what I'm talking about. And they haven't seen it. And me and Big Fred, you know, at work, we're like, "How have y'all not seen The Princess Bride?" It's just one of those movies.
Right?
If you're at least 25 years old, how have you not seen it? You know, and
I'll be surprised.
I think the two obvious choices on this list from 1987 are Predator and RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
Two very much modern classics. In fact, The Predator, which is as it's being called, just started filming with Shane Black directing, who was in the original Predator.
Yeah.
You know? And he's directing a new Predator reboot film, which they're calling it, it's kind of like a Star Trek thing. It's a reboot / sequel from what I'm reading.
Okay.
But what would you say ultimately was the biggest movie of that year?
That year? I have to look at box office numbers to see what the biggest movie was.
Yeah, you have to look at box office
numbers. I'm probably going to go with Dirty Dancing.
Well, box office-wise, yeah, but again, who cares? This isn't a romance podcast. He's one to talk about Can't Buy Me Love and Dirty Dancing, all this shit.
I know. I just started a rich, and y'all was like, this movie kicked butt. This movie kicked butt.
I mean, and there was a god-awful Superman 4, The Quest for Peace that year.
That
Christopher
was
Reeve did just to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2, which... You know, Evil Dead 2, it's basically a remake of Evil Dead, you know, in a lot of ways.
It is.
It's okay. But RoboCop and Predator are the two big ones,
actually,
I think.
Number one is Princess Bride.
Was it number one at the box office that year? Really?
It's number one rated.
Oh.
I'm talking about what was the most successful that year at the box office.
Well, Moonstruck actually grossed more than Dirty Dancing.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Fatal Attraction grossed the most so far, 156.
I figured Lethal Weapon was, being rated R, Lethal Weapon probably did not jump to the top back then. Yeah. Radar movies used to never make 100
million. In
fact,
I don't think it's even in the top 10.
Yeah.
No, it is in the top 10. It's number six, but it only grossed 65.
But 65 million for 1987 is a lot of money, you know.
Yeah, nowadays that's like, you don't even make a movie for that.
The first action film that made it was Predator. It was the number four rated film. It grossed 59.
But even then, it didn't make $100 million. Because wasn't The Matrix like the first rated R movie to ever make $100 million? I think it was. And that's 1999. Die Hard, maybe. I'd have to look.
We'd have to look at Die Hard or Terminator 2 and see. Because
Terminator 2 had to make over $100 million.
Had to, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Obviously, they got, you know.
No,
like
you know what I think
year.
It was about The Matrix? I think The Matrix was the first movie to go number one opening weekend and be rated R.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Hellraiser film was only 14.5 million.
Because you remember back in the 80s and 90s, movies played in theaters for almost a year. You know, even in the early 90s, video wasn't as quick as it is now.
Yeah.
You know, so Terminator 2 probably came out that summer and played till Christmas. So, yeah, it might have only grossed 20 million opening weekend, but if it made 5 million the next several weekends, it slowly got to 100 million. Man. So, Predator and RoboCop, though, I think are the two big ones from 1987, based on things we talk about on Rebel Radio, because they're still going. The characters are still very popular. RoboCop still has books and comics and things like that made about it. We had the reboot film a couple years ago, which maybe not everyone liked, but it just shows that RoboCop is still in pop culture.
Yeah.
Still toys being made about him. Predator, obviously, is still around with another movie coming out. I bet we'll get another RoboCop movie one day. I don't think that's a character that will die.
No.
You know, because these are characters from that year that were created and have transcended things and are still around. But it's just amazing in our little time warp here, though, how 1987 was such a hell of a year for movies. And people didn't really realize it. So any other thoughts on going back to 1987? Without yawning?
Oh, sorry. I've been trying to wean off the energy drinks, and I have not had one today at all.
All right, fist bump. Proud of you.
Yeah, it's...
Now go 3 years like me.
Yeah. I'll try. But, you know, same as Frank, whenever Frank sent me, whenever you sent us that link, we just didn't realize how awesome 1987 was. And it's
I know, as you go through there, you're like, I love that movie. I own, like, all but a handful of these movies.
So, like, if we went back in time, let's say we're going back to January 1987, and we were doing a year in review of the movies. You look at that list, what would you have thought was going to be the number one movie that year? What would you have looked the most forward to, not knowing what you know now? Put yourself in those shoes for a minute.
I probably would have been looking forward to Predator.
And as undo, you mean Arnold Schwarzenegger film?
No.
Honestly, if they were just to throw trailers...
Can't Buy Me Love, we already know.
No, if they were just to throw... Like, if we were to sit down and probably just go, like, let's say this was late 1986 before any of these movies hit the box office, and they threw these concepts of movies out, I would probably go with RoboCop.
I'd have to go with probably RoboCop, too, because I've always been a sci-fi
and come
guy.
On. Well, look at the posters, too, or at least what we saw on our when we looked them up. You're looking at posters. The coolest poster all there was RoboCop, because here you had this guy that's like armor outfit, you know, so that was pretty cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, his outfit was cool. The gun came out of the of his quad, and it was awesome how they tied it into his kid's cartoon that he used to watch. And then he gets his memory back, and he starts, you know, everything starts flowing back, and he goes back into his home, and everything's tied back together. He's man and machine, and RoboCop would be a close second for me as far as like a film that you would be hyped to watch, that I would be hyped to watch. I mean, it's hard. A robot cop is, you know,
and
it's
I'm
hard
looking
to beat.
At it as how old I was in 1987, which was a long time ago. And, but at that age, seeing like the poster and the scenes, like the commercials for it, were like different than other commercials.
Let's be honest, Frank, you weren't allowed to watch those kind of movies. That's why you remember Mannequin and Can't Buy Me Love.
No,
mom and dad sat you down and said, you're going to watch this lovey-dovey shit.
What was your first rated R movie?
I don't remember.
Oh, no, you might remember. What was your first
rated R movie? Die
Hard? Die Hard.
So?
And when did that come out?
88.
88?
A year later?
Yeah. I was like seeing Terminator and all those movies. Whoa.
You're 2 years older than me.
And your point is so that
you,
I'm old?
If I would have seen them to been 2 years younger, I would have seen those. But then once I saw Die Hard, I got to see all of them. So it all happened at one time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like overload.
Rated R everything.
So anyway, 1987 was a pretty badass year. And we just came across that and we're like, hey, let's talk about 1987. And there it was. So we're going to try something new here. And this could be an epic fail. It might not. But we have an idea for a new game on the podcast called Face Off.
Cass, you want to take his face?
Yes. His face.
So in Face Off, basically the idea is one of us will have a topic and we will each present that topic to you, the other two guys on the show, and y'all each get a couple minutes each to debate what is better. It could be a movie. It could be, let's say, Raiders of the Lost Ark versus GoldenEye. It could be a character, Batman versus Superman. It could be television show, Firefly versus Star Trek. So I'm picking the first topic, and I'm going to pick the winner, and we're going to tally these, who has the most wins. And when we get to Rebel Radio at the end of the year, there's going to be some sort of consequence/reward. I don't know.
So, consequence. Okay.
So the two winners get to push the other one in the nuts.
Next week's show, we're going to be talking about Wolverine and getting ready for Logan to come out in theaters. So today's topic is simple. And whenever I say the topic, one of you has to shout first which character you want, and the other person gets the other character. Wolverine versus the Hulk.
Hulk.
I guess you get the Hulk.
All right, Matt, go. You've got 2 minutes to say why the Hulk can beat Wolverine.
The Hulk is invincible. They haven't found anything that can beat the Hulk. In the comics, Loki had to pull his soul from Banner, the Hulk's soul, and split them apart. Wolverine can't do that. I know Wolverine can heal, but the Hulk can dish out way more damage than any other person that Wolverine has faced, and that's why the Hulk would win. Plus, he's the Hulk. He's the Hulk, man. He can probably eat Wolverine and digest him.
So that's your take. That's he's the thing. Hulk.
He's
that's your argument.
Freaking Hulk.
He's a freaking Hulk. He's big and green. He's a freaking Hulk. Okay, for what? Wolverine is not this animalistic, can't think for himself. You know, if you go with a more cunning X-Men Wolverine, he would take on the Hulk. He wouldn't just take him necessarily straight on. That's not the rule going at it. He would have put some fight behind it. You know, he would look at ways to take it. I mean, yeah, Hulk could take a lot of punishment. But I think a couple of calls to the eyeball, Hulk might not have an eye. He just becomes this rant and raving thing that just goes around in circles hitting anything that he comes across. Whereas Wolverine would just get thrown across the field, get his ass up, shake it off, go right back at the Hulk. They would clash a lot, granted. But I think eventually Wolverine would use his brain on how to win a fight more than just the Hulk going, I'm Hulk, I bash shit. You know, that's my...
This is a tough one. I like where Frank was going with it. And if you would have said he would have been used his cunning and his way to maybe trap the Hulk and capture him...
That's what I'm saying, when he's uncunning his sense.
I like that. And man, this is a close, but the Hulk is a badass. You know, he fucks shit up. He takes no shit from nobody. But man, in a very close race on our first ever face-off, Frank's the winner. Because I like the idea of using skill and cunningness to trap the Hulk and defeat him. He didn't say anything about killing him, simply defeat him. You were looking at the Hulk would just kill Wolverine by smash him and take care of him. Sometimes you got to use those skills that are required by a player.
But I think...
He can rip him apart, man.
I'll be honest.
If he gets a hold of him, he beat that by saying he'd be cunning and be trapping him. They'd stay out of the Hulk's grasp.
You got to remember, but his bones hold his body together.
Nothing can break adamantium, even the Hulk.
Yeah. It's true. I'm sure if the Hulk punched the shield of Captain America, it would probably knock Captain America back, but
there'll be many face-offs throughout the year.
Damage the shield.
Don't feel bad you lost the first one, okay? You get to be a loser today.
Damn it.
Okay?
Here's your L.
So that that went well for a on the spur trying a new thing. Face Off went well. I feel it did. But Matt's just a little upset, and he's gonna go home and cry in his wife's chest.
Who gets to issue the next challenge? Since you were
the winner, you get to issue the next challenge.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's how we'll do it.
He's safe for another round.
There's no winning twice in a row and getting to keep challenging.
Well, no, because I will be out of it.
Oh yeah.
True.
So
it keeps you from winning twice in a row.
Yeah.
So. All right, so you'll get to issue the next challenge. And, yeah, all right, so Face Off went well. Other than that, next week, we did a little preview of the show there. We're going to be talking Wolverine next week, getting you ready for Logan. We're going to talk about our favorite Wolverine moments in the films and why we like Wolverine and why he's such a badass. And that's going to be next week, along with the usual stuff. And make sure you send us anything that you want us to talk about or hear. Leave us a review on iTunes. That helps out a lot. Leave us a 5-star review. We've had a few new reviews up there. We appreciate it from people. TrustMeMajedi.com for all your needs. And just thank you for all your support and listening to the show, Absolutely. As always. And that's all I've got today, I think. So,
actually, I have a story, and I just want to get y'all's reaction.
Oh, no.
I brought this up. Okay. So, the other day at work, I'm doing my job, and there's another guy, and he's been with us for close. It feels like a year. And when he started work, he was pretty big.
He didn't
big
say
guy.
I talked too much again, did he?
No.
Or that was, one of y'all's friends said that.
No. It's a listener of this show, you know. And I told him I was going to bring this up. So we were there working, and since he's worked, he's lost a lot of weight. And one of the girls that works overnight, she just randomly comes up and she starts talking to us, and she looks at him and goes, "Wow, you've lost a lot of weight." And he goes, "Oh, thank you." And she goes, "Hey, I have a question. Have you noticed your dick got any bigger since you lost a lot of weight?"
What the heck?
Like, so that's pretty much what our reaction was. We're like, "What?" It was just like one of those random. He didn't even know how to answer. He was just all like,
So on that note, folks, if you have a dinky do, lose weight. And it'll be a dinky huge.
I guess so.
This has been Matt, Mark.
This has been Frank, Matt.
This has been Biscuit, Monkey.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast, and dinky do.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.